following Daf Yomi consists of several parts. It begins with the Daf Yomi recorded today, continues on with a quick review that allows you to go over the entire Daf in just 5 minutes, and then concludes with the last cycle's Daf Yomi, which you may enjoy more simply because there are different participants, has a different ambience. Enjoy! Today's Daf out is exciting, Daf Lametet, and we are up to the fifth line, Omar Rabba Barvada, Omar Barvada, Omar Rav. It's exactly where we're up to. Im nifsak achut meikaro pasul. If the, as opposed to yesterday, when we were talking about the upper chut, meaning the one that's furthest away from the beged, if the chut is broken at the point at which it's connected to the beged, even though when it was made lechatchila, it was fine, and not only that, but I even made the braid, I made the gedil, and in making the gedil, I now support that thread. It no longer has to be connected because it's going to be held in by the other threads. And you might think that that's considered to also be the equivalent of the gardumim that are kosher. Kamash lan, even though it was made properly before, if it's not connected at the base to the tzitziot themselves, then it would be pasul. Yatib Rav Nachman v'gomer la shmaitita. So Rav Nachman was sitting and saying this over, and Rava hears him, Eitvei Rava, Rav Nachman, from the following braita. How can you claim that it becomes nifsal if it tears at the point of connection to the beged, when the braita says, Bamed, Devarim Amurim, when is it that we need the shiur of the tzitzit, as we'll see later on, you need the 12 etzba'ot, that's dafka, in the beginning, when you insert the tzitzit into the beged, betchilato, aval sofo, if you're talking about afterwards, it should say aval bisofo, if you're talking about afterwards, when after it's made, now something happens to it, then both, what it seems to be saying is, both shiarav and gardumav would be any little bit. Now, when you say shiarav and you say gardumav, you're obviously referring to two different things, right? Now, I would suggest that the only possible explanation is that shiarav means that it was ifsik minayu and ishtayer minayu, whereas gardumav is the igardumi gardumi. There must be two different issues over here. One is the one we've been talking about all along. Shiarav means whatever's left over. That's what we called until now gardume. A little bit of thread left over. But when you're talking about girdum, that means it was nigrad, it was completely taken off, and therefore we can't talk about shiarav in that sense at all. And enochinami, when it says kolshu means it needs to be a little bit left, which makes absolutely no sense when you're talking about cutting the thread at the point where it's in the beggar. There's nothing left. It's not attached anymore. And that bothers Tosus on this. Pirush, you'll have to say that the word kolshu was only going on the part that could have been kolshu, which is the shiarav. But in any event, I mean, it's got to be, there's only two areas where you could have the cut thread. Either the thread is cut at the, what we call the top, the closest point to the beged, or it's cut afterwards, after it comes out of the braid, after it comes out of the gedil. And here it's saying that it would be okay. And you're claiming that if it's cut at the point where it enters into the beged, even though it's still hanging there because it's attached to the gedil, it's no longer considered to be a p'til tchelet or a p'til at all. So how do you explain your p'sak in light of this braita? Answers Rav Nachman, no. You're reading it wrong. It's read shiurei gardumav. It's all one thing, charekatani. It's saying the leftovers of the stubs have to be at least some shear, kol shehu, a little bit. So then just say gardumav. I mean, that's the way we refer to it all along. We're talking about Bnei Rabbi Chiya and so on. Gardumav means whatever is left. What do you need the word shiarav just to confuse us? Shiarav lamali. No, the point is that akamashulam the beinan shiura legardumav, and that is the shiur that we talked about earlier, kedela anvan. Now, if you just say the word gardumim, gardumim could mean a stub, meaning that it's been completely cut, and all I could see is the end where it was cut. That's also called gardumim. But if you say the leftover of the stub, and then you apply an amount to it, now I understand that there must be some minimal kol shu is also something, kol shu, but there has to be a shahu, whatever it is. It doesn't mean nothing. which, by the way, may be different than Mashahu. That's a question. The Brisk Rav, of course, said if somebody wanted to aser drinking water during Pesach, because chametz aser even be Mashahu. Somebody threw a sandwich into the kinneret. The Mashahu is also a shear. So that's a reference to this. It's not just a joke. It really is a shear. Okay, so the shear is over there to twist it around itself to be able to make a little knot in it. Yantiv Rav, if a Gomer Shmei to Rav. Now, Rav was once saying over in Rav's name that you can include the chut that you use to do the kricha in the number of chutim of the tzitzit itself. It's not that you have a braid and you have the loose part that comes out of the braid, like a tassel. And then the way that you make this is by bringing another piece of thread and then you wrap it around like you would a braid of hair. Well, you don't braid the hair with the hair itself, but you can. But you can also make it pretty with like a red thread or something around it. Comes along, Rabbi said, no. The idea over here is that the total of eight strings, four strings bent over themselves, that includes the string that you're using to do the kricha. Amar Le Rav Yosef, well, you're right, except you're misquoting it. That wasn't what Rav said, that's what Shmuel said, not Rav. Shmuel Amra, the low Rav. It was also Itmar Nami Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, that Sakhli Rav Yosha Demin Usha, and here it seems clearly to be missing as the Gilyon puts it in, Mishmei de Shmuel, because we're trying to say Itmar Nami, Chut Shal Kerech Olala Min Aminyan, which is exactly what he just claimed, that this had been said by Shmuel. Yotiv Rabba is the other Girsa, Vika Amar Mishmei de Shmuel, another minor. Tchelet Shekarach Ruba Kishera. Now, remember that the word tchelet can be very confusing. Sometimes it means the tzitziot. Sometimes it means in the context of lavan, it means tchelet as opposed to lavan. Here, according to most, we're talking about tchelet the tzitziot. So in other words, if you made your tzitzit mostly the braided, what we do is we have one-third braid and then two-thirds are the strings. But suppose you did the other way. Suppose you did two-third braid, one-third string. That would be kosher, even though it's not the preferred way. And here, too, Rav Yosef said, no, you're getting it confused again. That's what Rav said, not what Shmuel said. Rav am Rav alo Shmuel. It manami am revuna bar yoda am rev sheshet am rev yirmiya barava am arav tchelet shekarach rubak shira. Rav Chia, the reader of Natan, matni hachi. Om revuna am rev sheshet am rev yirmiya barava am arav tchelet shekarach rubak shira. Furthermore, even if lo karach ba elachulia achat, and we don't know what that is, how much that is. Remember that we have the shiur, we have various terminologies here. Tchelet versus lovan is a technical terminology. Tchelet, which means unspecifically just a tzitzit, is another way of referring to it. A gedil refers to the area which is braided. The petil refers to the area that's not braided. The chut shel kerach refers to the thread that's used to go around the braid, and that creates the braid. The kesher refers to the various ties, whether on top, meaning like Rashi says, on the bottom, next to the beged, or between each chulia. And a chulia refers to a certain number of twists, meaning that the chut shel kerach went around the braid, however many times, which the Gemara is going to clarify soon, or not clarify, but attempt to clarify soon, and that's called the chulia, so that we have another term coming up, which we use instead of a ptil, which is confusing, because a ptil refers to a single ptil. We have the word anaf, and anaf, when used together with gedil, means a tassel. Tassel is the loose thread, so we have gedil, and we've been using gedil and ptil. We're going to make it clear that we're talking about the group of ptilim that are coming out of the gedil, as opposed to the ptil, which is used for the kricha. We use the term anaf here, and that will be used throughout.
Eight hanging strings?
Yes. So, ruba kshera. Furthermore, afilo karbel achulia achat kshera, v'noye techele. Now, the nicest way to do it is to have one-third a gedil, that's the braided part, and shnei shlish, what we've been referring to until now as ptilim, as anaf, which is tassel. And when you say a chulia, what do you mean? You said even one chulia, but how big is one chulia? What's the minimum size of a single braid in the gedil? Kama shiur chulia. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, kedei sheyichroch v'yishaneh v'yishalesh. The thread has to go around three complete times, and that is called one chulia. You could do more, but that's what is the minimal shear of a chulia. Tani. Now, in the Braita, it says like this. Hapochet lo yifchot misheva. Now, there's some that learn that this is a continuation of what we just spoke about, namely, what is the shear of a chulia, in which case it would be referring to the krichot in the chulia. But most learn that it's referring to the number of chuliot. So, if you're going to minimize the number of chuliot, it should be not less than seven chuliot. But this is referring to techelet, literally, not tzitzit that are called techelet. And the reason for this is, as we're going to see, since the techelet is a remes to the rakia, so we learn, remember, that the techelet is domen the yam is domen the rakia is domen the kisei hakoved, and we're attempting to integrate the lowest levels of our perception of creation, a very simple sea creature, and the most complex, in which the glory of the Shamayim itself. So you need to be Merames to Rakia, and there are Sheva Rakiyim, as we're going to see, we learned in Hagiga. And so we're going to have these types of Ramazim, but these Ramazim are Nogea Techelet. If you don't have Techelet, then you may look to other types of Ramazim, which we'll discuss in a moment. No. Yes and no. This has nothing to do with our sugya. Unless you learn that it's referring to kricha. But as I said, most refer to the chuliot. So if it's the chuliot, you should have seven chuliot and don't have more than 13. So apochet lo yifchot misheva, don't have less than seven, because you want to be merames to the seven rikim, each one of which will have within it a minimum of three threads. Because that's the minimal size for chulia. And hamosif lo yosif ha-shloshes, right? There shouldn't be more than 13 separate chuliot. Keneged shiv'a rekiin v'shisha avirin shebenehem. This way you include the avir between each rekiya, and then you have a full sense of the heavenly spheres, so to speak. So this is a Dantesque type of vision in which the entirety of the universe is being included here in your vision of tzitzit. Now Rashi points out that now, because of the fact that we don't have Tchelet, at least in his time, so now we search for a different set of Ramazim. A different set of Ramazim is to have the four chuliot with five ksharim, and if we add those five ksharim to the gematria of the tzitzit and the eight strings, we end up with taryag, and it says, Vizachar, the zechiro here is kol mitzvot Hashem. So it has to be a remes to taryag in it, and we use the five because it connects chamisha kum sheitera, and so on and so forth, and we have our minig of the 7, 8, 11, 13, of the Sephardic minig of Yudke Vovke, Keneget Hashem, and many other minogim. Again, as we've already seen, all of this is just a question of remozim. It's not, none of it is nogeya la halacha, and all that's really important is that we should have some gedil, and we should have some anaf, and a gedil means at least a chulia of three. We're going to see, we haven't even really gotten to the basis of what makes us say any of this. We don't know the four strings, or deal, or not, and we're just assuming all of these things. So again, as usual, we start all the way at the bottom and work our way up to where the arir. We're looking at the other way around, which the most fundamental things are on the bottom. And right, we get to where it all comes from. Tana kishu matchil matchil b'lavan. The first, remember, when we were talking before at the beginning of the parak, we were mentioning, what comes first, Lavan or the Tchelet. Well, when you start nodding with the white threads, or you start doing your kricha with the white threads, then you switch to the Tchelet threads, and then when you finish, you're finished with the Lavan. The reason you start with the Lavan is because it says Haknaf. You're supposed to put the Tchelet on the kanaf, is what it says. So, al tzitzit ha-kanaf til tchelet. So that means that the essence of the tzitzit is really what we call the lavan. And then you have the additional aspect of the tchelet, which remarkably, the whole point of the tchelet is this additional aspect. And that became clear in the machlokas of Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu brings the beged shekulo tchelet, which is exactly what we're going to get into in a moment. And taina is that you don't need a remez of something when the entire thing is that thing, any more than you should need a mezuzah on a house that's full of svarim. Therefore, you shouldn't need a kahuna on a mamlechet kohanim. And this all revolved around the same issues. That was the connection of the Kerach to the din of tzitzit and the issues of tchelet. But the point of tchelet is that it's meant to be an indicator that extends outward. Of course, it's the way we use hair in general, even in English, information that says, you know, are black holes hairy or are they not hairy? And so on.
That we connect it to Korach as well.
Yes, yeah, definitely. That's the whole idea of Korach, is that he's not hairy. So he's called Korach. He was angry about the hair. She saved him. She saved Un Ben Pelet by letting down her hair, and so on and so on. Oh, it's very hairy. So, in any event, over here, that implies that the essence is the Lavan. If the essence is the Lavan, not only must you begin with the Lavan, but you must end with the Lavan. Kishur misayim misayim b'Lavan, because otherwise you would be sort of going downhill. And the din is, mishum ma'alin b'kodesh v'lo moridin. You're not supposed to go downhill. Rav, v'rava b'brachana, ave yatve. Rav and Rav b'brachana were sitting, talking on a park bench. Ave kachol avazalu gavra, demichzeg lima dekula tchilta. Comes along Korach, I mean, some guy that's wearing a beged that's entirely made out of tchelet. And he's got tchelet in this beged of tchelet. It can't be Korach. And he had the entire thing, gedila migda. There was no... He had the entire thing braided. There were no loose threads at all. So Rav says, "Where's my? That's a beautiful beged." But yoig lima, but the tchelas are pretty poor. V'lo yoy techalta, because there's no threads. What kind of tzitzit are those? Whereas Rabbi Barbarachana says, "Oh no, man, you got it all wrong. That is a beautiful beged, and it's beautiful tchelet too." But my kamiflegin, Rabbi Barbarachana, who says that it's perfectly okay to have the entire tzitzit as a braid, he says, look, basically, the Torah is giving two completely different descriptions in two different chumashim. I mean, one is your Bamidbar description of tzitzit, and one is your Dvarim description of tzitzit. In one place, it says, Gedilim mitaselach, alar bakat fot kesutcha. Now, Gedilim sure doesn't sound the same as the ptil techelet on the tzitzit aknaf, and yet it's obviously the same thing. In which case, if it calls it a ptil techelet, and it calls it a gedil, it must be you got a choice, because it's put in two different places. So there's two ways to envision these tzitzit. You could either use o gedil, o ptil. Whereas Rav says, no, there's no way to do that, because you see, one actually defines the other. And if one defines the other, even partially, then obviously they are meant as complementary descriptions, not alternative descriptions. So look, you always need a ptil. La'olam ptil be'ina. When it says gedilim, it's not to offer an alternative. The word gedilim relates directly to the ptilim, because it also teaches you minyana. Because gedil, which means a braid, has to at least have two threads in it. You can't make a braid with one thread. So that means that the meaning of gedil itself is a double thread. When you use the word gedilim, that's two gedils, you've got to have four threads, okay? Then when you call it petil, what it means is ase gedil, and then poteleu mitocho, which according to Tosfos is the makar of poteleu. Poteleu means a petil. The way you generally make a petil in the literal sense of a wick is you take a thread and then you bend it over and you put the bottom part into wet, and that will be the way you'll make a petil, or into oil. So that the petil would mean bend over the four that we just had from the gedil, and how you get eight. The other pshat, because the putting through is meant to be understood as tzitzit itself. As a matter of fact, we're going to have to discuss the shita that holds it. You need two separate holes to put it through the knaf, not just hang it through one hole, which we'll get to that discussion. But the idea over here would be, potleu mitocho could mean, use the chut of the kerach be included in the gedil, which is what we said on Amud Aleph. In other words, we said we include in the number of threads the chut shel kerach. We don't take a little thread from outside and make that the braid. That would be what it means over here. Gedil with the petil. They're also related, potlei mitochot.
Seal would be the wrapping?
Yeah, use, no, it would not be only the wrapping. I mean, potlei the gedil pitotel. They would all be wrapped with the petiol, not a separate petiol. Another meaning would be potlei mitochot, that the thread should be coming out, threads of the tassel come out of the braid. So potlei mitochot. Okay, all of the above is true. But it means that they're related. It's not offering you two different ways of making tzitzit. Therefore, if you hold like Rav, you don't have kosher tzitzit over here, because where's the petiol? If you hold like Rami, like Rav Abarbrachana, then these are perfectly kosher tzitzit. Omar Shmuel, Mishmei Delevi, moving on to a new sugya. As opposed to the shape of the tzitzit, now let's talk about the question of tzemer and pishtik, and their relationship to the tzitzit and the beged. So Shmuel quotes Levi as saying that chutei tzemer potrim b'shal pishta. You can use threads of wool even though you're coming to deal with a sheet of pishtan. Remember the sadin shal pishtan, which was generally used to cover as a simple overbeged, what we would call a tali today, was made out of linen, which is why we call it lavan minastan. And look, the Torah does say that you have to put in tchelet. Tchelet, by definition, is wool that's dyed in the color of tchelet. It's not just a description of color. So then that means, by definition, the Torah is telling you, at least partially, you can use wool and threads to potter something that's made out of linen. Comes along now Levi to say, well, woolen threads, even if they're white, you can use. In other words, entirely, you can potter. And now, according to Tosfos, the issue is over here, kilayim. Are you allowed to use kilayim even where it isn't specifically the tchelet? So can you put in the lavan, also made out of, you have a linen baguette. Can you, let's say, add an additional two made out of wool, since you anyway have the wool? Maybe that's the issue tomorrow. We'll now discuss. Or perhaps, even if you don't have tchelet, could you put in wool? There's another question that we're going to be involved in over the next couple of pages. And Rashi learns that the question over here is not the issue of kilayim, but rather the question of whether that species of wool is kosher to potter linen. Kilayim will deal with elsewhere, but kilayim we're taking for granted is not a problem when it comes to tzitzit. Now why, later on the Gemara is going to get into, and we're going to find a lot of stirot between the Gemara later that seems to limit you to using kilayim to where it's impossible to do any other way, and our sugya, which doesn't seem to limit us in any way. And we'll discuss that when we get there. So what he seemed to be saying could be understood in two ways. It could be understood as, we don't care if you use pishtan and tzemer, tzemer and pishtan. Or you could be saying, since anyway you're using tchelet, use more tchelet, or more tzemer. Or since you could use tchelet, you could use tzemer. So iboilu. What about in the inverse? Suppose you have a beged that's entirely wool. Can you use linen threads for your tzitzit? Shel pishtin mao shifteru b'shel tzemer. Again, according to Tosfot, because of the kalayim problem. According to Rashi, because of the mismatched knaf. It's not the same thing. Did Shmuel say that the din of tzemer is okay b'shal pishtim, and only there who the patar, but that would be because kivan t'chelet patra lavanami patar. Since the Torah clearly allows you to use the t'chelet to patra the linen, so then even for the white threads, it might be enough. But certainly the other way around, we never found that the Torah said you can mismatch, according to Rashi, the threads, or according to Tosfos, you can kilayim the threads by using pishtim in a beged of tzemer. Lo, O Dilma, or do we say that the basis of Shmuel's statement was an understanding of the pasuk? Since the pasuk puts together the isra of halbashat sha'atnez, which is described as tzemru pishtim yachtav, directly next to the pasuk of gedilim ta'aselach, according to Tosfos, therefore telling me that sha'atnez is mutter in any direction. According to Rashi, therefore telling me that tzemer upishtim potters all types of gedilim, no matter what it is that the beged is. Loshna tzemer bepishtim, veloshna pishtim betzemer. Now, I don't know what Shmuel meant. Tashma, the Omer Rechava, Omer of Yehuda, chutei tzemer potrim b'shal pishtan, v'shal pishtan potrim b'shal tzemer. Here it says very clearly, you can use any tzemer or pishtim in any beged, and you can even use chutei tzemer and pishtim to potter anything else, which sounds like you can mix kilayim, two threads of tzemer,
chelet, two threads of pishtim, even if the beged that you're wearing is cotton, the chol makom. So this now seems to be saying that even afilu b'shirayim, even if you're using silk, you could still use chutei tzemer u'pisht upligi the Reb Nachman. And this is clearly different than Reb Nachman, because Reb Nachman says that silk is even chayev in tzitzit. Hashirayim peturim min hatzitzit. Then shirayim peturim min hatzitzit. So then, obviously, it would be kilayim shelo b'makom mitzvah. And you wouldn't be able to possibly do such a thing. So if you're telling me that chutim of tzemer and pishtim pata b'chol makom, even with shirayim, so the kamash one is that the shirayim rechayim. Eight ve'rova in the Reb Nachman. Now this is pleaded Reb Nachman, according to Reb Nachman. It's part of minatziti. Eight ve'rova in the Reb Nachman. Does it not say that shirayim and kelach and sirikin, that the truth is these are all issues of silk. Shiroi means what we normally call silk. Kalach refers to what they make a phony silk. I forgot the name in English. Maybe Uncle Art has it. Kalach refers to a process whereby you take a little cocoon and you make a thread out of it, but it isn't really silk.
Inferior grade.
Okay. I know there's a word for it. And the sirikin are leftover pieces of silk that have been spun now into a thread, which is also inferior. Does he have a name for it?
No.
Okay, so all of these are chayev b'tzitzit. So how do you say that Reb Nachman says it's potter b'tzitzit if it's a fair shabraita, not like that? Nah, says Reb Nachman, what's that? It's talking about the Rabbana. Wait a minute, how could that be talking about the Rabbana? It says v'kulam tzemru pishtim potrim behem. A tzemru pishtim potrim behem seems to be saying you could use tzemer and pishtim mixed, right? Now, how can you use a mixture of tzemer and pishtim, which is kelayim, on your silk or cotton beged? I mean, unless there's a dioraita. So yeah, mit bishlama dioraita. If you're going to tell me that when we talk about the chiyav of shirayim, it means that there's a chiyav dioraita. So you can tell me, Hainu the Mishtra Bukilayim. Now note that the Gemara is making the assumption, and again, this is going to be very problematic later, tomorrow's talk, that kilayim would be mutter even where there doesn't need to be kilayim, because obviously I don't have to mix my tchelet with linen. If I'm talking about silk, what do I need linen for at all? I definitely need wool because I need tchelet, but I certainly don't need linen. I should use tzemer and therefore avoid kilayim. Yet here the Gemara seems to be saying that it would be perfectly okay to make it with kilayim if it were dioraita. Whereas if it's only derabanan, so then how could you be matir kilayim? Therefore, we need, according to Reb Nachman, to fix it by saying it doesn't mean you can use tzemer and pishtim, for God's sakes. That's an iser dioraita. It means o tzemer, o pishtim. So in other words, if you're going to use silk, and you might have thought that tzitzit ha-knaf is chayev dafka min ha-knaf, so the tzitzit would have to be silk. Kamash malan, that you could use either tzemer alone or pishtim alone, obviously, if you don't have tchelet. And that way, you would be yotze even on things that are made out of materials that have nothing to do with tzemer or pishtim. And by the way, you're right. And by the way, that makes a great deal of sense. I could show you actually what Reb Nachman would be based on. Hachinami Mistavra. Diktoni Seifa continue on about the Shiroin and the Kalach. It says, Beminan Potrin, Shalom Beminan Ein Potrin. That these materials, a cotton beged or a silk beged, they can actually potter their own means. If you use silk strings on a silk beged for tzitzit, it's fine. But you can't use silk strings on a cotton beged. You can only use silk strings on a silk beged. And that is in contradistinction to tchelet, or to tzemer and pishtim, which you can use on any beged. See, I'm with Bishlam and Rabbonin. If you're going to tell me that the whole chiyuv is a drabbanan, you could say that the drabbanan included a new din of, if you're going to make a beged drabbanan, use a tzitzit drabbanan. But if you're going to tell me it's a dioraita, didn't the Torah put tzemer upishtim yachta together with gedilim tasela, which limits it to tzemer upishtim? So how could you say silk would be sufficient to potter your tzitzit? Says the Gemara, no, that's not a riot or Nachman at all, because there's a basis in the Torah to that too. You see, let's say it's diaraita. Imishum halo ayria. That's not a riot of nakru at all. Because this works out very well, according to Rava, the Rava Rami. Rava points out, on the one hand, the Torah seems to be discussing the p'tur of the tzitzit that is based on the species of the beggar. So it says, al tzitzit hakanaf, which is mashma, that the initial tzitzit before you put on the tchelet is made out of the min haknaf. So if the knaf is made out of cotton, then the tzitzit should be made out of cotton. On the other hand, it says tzemru pishtim, which is mashma, only tzemru pishtim. How do you explain that? You explain it by the fact that tzemer upishtim are a universal tzitzit, and their potrin bein biminan sheben shelo biminan, whereas shar minin, silk or cotton, those kind of things biminan potrin, they are uniquely suited to knaf. Of the beggar, mina knaf, but shelo b'minan enon potri. But it could be, it is diorite. I mean, we don't have a riot. What would be the makor for Reb Nachman to say that indeed it's only drabanan? I'll tell you. It's because there's a tana devei Rabbi Yishmael. The tana devei Rabbi Yishmael. Look, there are places where the Torah doesn't define begadim. For instance, over here by tzitzit, it says, al kanfei bigdehem. But there is a place where pirat l'chakatuv b'yachad mihem. There is a place where the Torah says, b'feirush, the din of tzemer u'pishtim. Ba'in degoyim, ba'beget tzemer, ba'beget pishtim. So since it defines tzemer u'pishtim in one place, it's coming to tell me tzemer and pishtim is the definition of begadim. So according to that, if the Torah says, al kanfei bigdehem, it's as if it wrote, al kanfei bigdei tzemer u'pishtim. And therefore, according to Reb Nachman, the min knaf could never mean that the oraita there would be a chiyev of non-tzemer u'pishtim. Omer Abaya, but you should know that this tonet v'Rabbi Yishmael is the opposite, and it's a contradiction to another brayta that we have for the tonet v'Rabbi Yishmael. We find this very often, that they had various braytot that they said over by the Talmidim Rabbi Yishmael. The tonet v'Rabbi Yishmael, on the one hand, the Torah says beget. Now, according to Rashi, this is a reference to habeget kebo nagat sarah. And according to Tosfos, this is a reference to the din of shratzim, that they're metame begadim, mikol kli eitz o beged o or. Now, the girsa would have to be different, because by the din of tzarat, it says beged tzemer, beged pishim. By the din of the sheyipol alav, it says beged, so o beged. So over here, we're going to have two different girsa, depending on whether we're going aliba Rashi or Tosfos. So here the Tanit Rabbi Yishmael says, look, says on the one hand beged. So if it says beged tzemer, does that mean Amy Ella beged tzemer? How do I know to include other materials? How do I know to include, let's say, tzemer of gimalim, or tzemer of arnavim, or notza shel izim, the soft hairs that come of an eighth? Cashmere?
Is it cashmere or angora?
Yeah. Is what?
Angora.
Angora is a different species. Soft, not the hair of the goat, but rather the soft growth. It's called notza because you pluck it off, or you would, like feathery, same washing that we use for feathers. And the sirikim, and the shirayim, which we just talked about, the kalach, sirikim, shirayim. How do we know that even that is included in the din of tzemru pishtim minayim? So Talmud lomar, o beged. Now this, as I said, o beged is not true. It's o ba beged, if you're learning that it's a reference to the negat sarat, and we'd have to change that. Tosfos says clearly it's not referring to beged tzemer by negoyim, because then it should have said o ba beged, and we don't see that any of the girsot have that. But rather, o beged, we're not expanding here the din of begodim by the din of nega at all, and it is indeed limited dafka to beged tzemer, beged pishtim. All that we're doing is we're saying in other places where it says begadim, such as here, or such as the case of the tuma of shratzim that falls on a kli Osag, Kol Kli Asher Yesem Lacha. There it says, indeed, O Beget. So from the extra O, we say that means to include any Begadim. Whereas this Tanit of Erev Yishmael says, means Daf Getzem Rupishnim. Everywhere. And therefore, there is a Mekor for Reb Nachman, that there's a tour on Shiroim and so on, from the original Tanit of Erev Yishmael. But there's also a Mekor for the opposite approach, which we saw was really the din, if you learn min kenaf, zdafka, reference to cotton, or a reference to silk, except it's limited to minan, which I think Tzemrot Pishtim is the universal tzitzit. That's also true from the other Tana of Erev Yishmael, which learns the opposite. Omer Rava Baravada, Omer Ravada, Omer Rav, Im Nivtika Chud Mikoro Psula, Yad Rav Nachman Koma Lo Shmaite, Tvei Rav, Alu Rav Nachman, Med Varma Mur Betchilato, Avos Bisofo, Shiorav Gardumav Kolshu. Now, what would be the difference between my Shiorav and my Gardumav? Undoubtedly, my love Shiorav, the Ifsik Minayu Vishtair Minayu, whereas Gardumav is exactly this case, where it was the Gardumav Gadumi from next to the Beget. Na, na, Chodakatani. Shiorei Gardumav Kolshu. So it didn't just say Gardumav, Shiorav Lamali. Hakam Mashmalan, the Be'inan Shiura La Gardumav. And that shiur, as we said yesterday, is kedei la'anvan. Yativ rabba v'kamer b'shmei de rab. Chut shel kerech ole min aminyan. Omle Rav Yosef, you're right, except that Shmuel was the one who said that, v'lo rab. Idmar nami omer rabba baruchana. Sachli Rav Yoshia demin usha omer Shmuel. Chut shel kerech ole min aminyan. Furthermore, yativ rabba v'kamer b'shmei de Shmuel. Tchelet shekarach ruba k'sheira. And again, Rav Yosef said, it's true, but you got it backwards. It was Rav who was Amrav, alo Shmuel. Itmar nami Omrav Unabar Yehuda. Omrav Sheshet, Omrav Yirma Ba'ava, Omar Rav, Techelet Shekarach Ruba Kishera. Rav Chia Bereder of Natan Matne Hachi. Omar Rav Unamrav Sheshet, Omrav Yirma Ba'ava, Omar Rav, Techelet Shekarach Ruba Kishera. Furthermore, in this version, Vafilu lo korach bo ela chulia achat kishira. Vnoye techelet shlish gedil v'shlei shlish anaf lechatila. When I say chulia, even one chulia, kamashir chulia, Tanya Rebbe omer kadesh yichroch v'yishane v'yishalesh. Tana. Hapochet lo yivchot misheva v'hamosif lo yosif al shloshesre. Hapochet lo yivchot misheva keneged shiva rekiin. V'hamosif lo yosif al 13 keneged shiva rekiin v'shisha avirin shebineihem. Tana kishehu matchil b'lavan. Then that's from hakanaf, min hakanaf. But then if that's the case, then the essence is the lavan. And therefore, kishehu misayim b'sayim b'lavan, mishum malin b'kodesh v'lo moridin. Rav and Rabba Bar Bar Chana have a yatvei, v'avekachale v'haz alohu gavra, the mirse glima de kula tchilta, and romile tchilta, and not only that, it was gedila migdal without any ptil. Omar Rav, yai glima, but lo yai tchilta. Rabba Barba Chana Amar, yai glima, ve yai tchilta. Bamarka miflege. Rabba Barba Chana sova aktiv gedil, aktiv ptil, which gives you a choice. O gedil o ptil. Rav sova, no, because the ptil is defined by the deal, and therefore there must be one thing. So liolam ptil beina, because ahu gedilim is leminyanal de'ata. Since a gedil requires a minimum of two threads, then gedilim would have to be double that, which is arba'a. And it means hase gedil upotleu mitocho, which means either slip it through the hole and turn it now into eight, like Tosfot, upotleu mitocho, use this chutzel kerach as part of the minyan, or potleo mitocho, have the ptili coming out of the surrounding gvil. Omar Shmuel Mishmei de Levi chutei tzemer potrim b'shel pishtan. Now, what did that mean? Yibaylo. Is it the other way too? That shel pishtan maushif tru b'shel tzemer. Perhaps tzemer b'shel pishtim is able to poter the given the tchelet patra lilavanami patar. Since the tchelet has to be used here for the sadin, even though it's made out of pishtim, So you might as well use it for the Lavan, according to Tosfot, in terms of Kilayim, and according to Rashi, in terms of the Mim that is Poter. Avo Pishtim Betzemer, maybe, according to Tosfos, is also because of Kilayim, according to Rashi, is not sufficient, the similarity to the Knaf, and Lo will not Pater. Odilma Kivan Dechtiv Lo Tilbash Atnez, Tzemru Pishtim Yachta, followed by Gedilim Taselach, the Torah is basically telling you that Loshna Tzemru Bepishtim, Veloshna Pishtim Betzemer, according to Tosfot, the Kilayim is Mutter, according to Rashi, they Pater each other. Toshmad Yom Rechava, Omer of Yehuda, Chutei Tzemer Potrim B'Shapishtan, Shapishtan or Potrim B'Shal Tzemer, and for that matter, Chutei Tzemer or Pishtim or Potrim B'Choma Kom Afilu B'Shiroyim. And in this, they're clearly Chelek on Reb Nachman, because Reb Nachman says, Shiroyim are Poturim Min Hatzitzit. Eitvei Rovel Reb Nachman, HaShiroyim V'Kelech V'Srikin, Kulan Chayavim B'Tzitzit. Yeah, but that's only Midrabonah. How could it be only Midrabonah? Iyochi Ema Seifa. V'chulan Tzemer u'pishtim potrim behem. So you tell me, Tzemer u'pishtim, nah, that seems to mean together. So if you're telling me Tzemer u'pishtim potrim behem, so then Iyamet b'shloma diyoraita, I can understand that there's a patur to use kilayim. But if you're going to tell me that kiroyim and shiroyim and kelach and so on are only drabonah, how could you be allowed to use kilayim? No, you're right. I would have to read O Tzemer, O Pishtim. In fact, Achinami Mistaver, that it's only Durabonim. Diktoni Seifa, Hein Biminan Potrim. So, Shiroyin or Tzemer Geffen or whatever it is, would potter itself, but Shalom Biminan Ein Potrim. Now, Yamit Bishlama Durabonim, it makes sense that we can allow you, once we're being Machayev you to make tzitzit on a cotton baguette, we can allow you to use Chutim of cotton for that tzitzit. But Iyama Dioraita, the Torah defines it as being dafke tzemru pishtim u'depata. Now that's not a problem. Because that you could learn is like Rava, the Rava Rami. K'tiv ha-kanaf, one place ha-kanaf, which means min knaf. And yet the Torah insists tzemru pishtim gedilim taselach. So ha-ketzat, tzemru pishtim must be the universal tzitzit. And they're potrim bein b'minan, bein shalom b'minan. Whereas Shar Minin, even though they're Chayev Midioraita, but they will only potter with the threads made out of the same material for a beged made out of that Min Potrin. But Shalobi Minan Inam Potrin. So now Reb Nachman doesn't have a leg to stand on. Well, he does. I mean, Reb Nachman could go like the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Ho'il V'nemru B'Gadim B'Torah Stam. It doesn't say what type of Gadim. It just says, Al kanfei bigdehem. So I don't know what that is, but since pirat chakatu be'echad mehem, when it comes to kilayim, it says beferish tzemru pishtim. So therefore, it must be that afko tzemru pishtim. Omer Abaye, well, you should just know that there's another brayta of the Tanavir of Shor, which says the opposite. Hay Tanavir of Shmuel, mafka be'idach Tanavir of Shmuel, according to which we have a ribui to say that beged means any beged, not only tzemer upishtim. That beged, ein li ela beged tzemer, minayin l'rabot. I mean, it says, if you're learning about the neged tzarat, it says, beferish ba beged tzemer. So, ein li ela beged tzemer, minayin l'rabot, tzemer gemalim, tzemer arnavim, notza shalizim, hakolach hasirikin vashiroi minayin, tambud lomar o beged. And this again should be saying ba beged, according to the way that Rashi is learning, bi beged semer, or bi beged pishtim. The pasuk as quoted by Rashi doesn't exist. Beged semer, or beged pishtim. Talmud lomar, o beged. So again, in machlokas, whether this is a ribui, legabe tuma, the makabe tuma, or that it can actually be metame benegoyim. But in any event, according to this study of Rabbi Shmuel, we would be marba other minim for tzitzit. And Reb Nachman was going on Liba the first study of Rabbi Shmuel. And we're mamayed anything but tzemru pishtim.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. So, continues our sugya. Yesterday, today we're holding a daf lamed tes amud aleph. Yesterday we began basically the sugya of what happens when some of the chutim tear. We were discussing gardumim. Gardumim mean leftovers. So it's where you began properly, and you have afterwards what's left of what had originally been the proper shear of the chutzis. Now, the case that we brought yesterday was the raya that Rava was bringing from the fact that gardumei tzitzis are kosher, and that there has to be more than one kesher. Because if the norm was that there was only a single chulia, or perhaps you made chulias, we'll see that a chulia refers to, we'll see later on today, a chulia refers to three times wrapping with the what we call the shamish. Now the mice in a correct pair of tzitzis, those are, thank you very much, where you have tcheles. So the chulia literally means three times. We'll see later on where we get the minhag from with the different types of chulias that we make with the lavan. We'll talk about that.
Is the tcheles the shamish?
Both are the shamish. In other words, we have some kriecha with lavan, some kriecha with tcheles, all of which we'll discuss as we go. But in any event, if lemaisa, there was only one knot at the end of all of the chulias, which would mean that a chulia would consist of three times lavan, then three times tcheles, and then three times lavan, and so on, depending how many chulias you want to do, and that we'll talk about later. Let's just illustrate. I brought along.
I brought along my tcheles.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
We don't really need two knots at all. In other words, a real chulia is this. Three lavans. That's a chulia. You begin with lavan, as the Gemara says. You begin with these three twists.
Right.
Then you have a chulia of tcheles.
Okay.
Then you have a chulia of lavan. Now that's all that we saw, basically, right? If at the end of this I would make a knot, this would be kosher tzitzis knot. Rava's timing is, yesterday, is that it's got to be that there's more. Now, the assumption was that there's no knot here.
That's what it is.
Right. Now, as we start, we're just simply wrapping it.
Uh-huh.
We make a gadil. We don't put a knot at the top. We're going to talk about the knot.
We're going to talk about the knot at the top in
a moment. But we don't have a knot at the top. We have a knot at the bottom. And now that's all that's left. In other words, we're here. So what he's saying is, look, if this is cut down all the way to the end, then the knot's going to unravel because this will pull out. Tosis says, why will the whole knot unravel? If only 1 foot or 2 chutim, fine, that's a different question. He has a slightly different shot because of it. But the idea over here is that there's got to be another knot somewhere. And the other knot would be on the next level up between the next chulias. So each one of these three is a chulia. That's, again, because we've gotten out of the habit of using tcheles. So the chulia in our mind now means the entire number of times which we wrap between one knot and the other. Technically, that's not true. A chulia consists of three times wrapping, like this. So in other words, what you're looking at now is four chulias. One of lavan, one of tcheles, one of lavan, and one of tcheles. Now we have, for some reason, these various knots, which we'll talk about, where did they come from? Why are we making these more? In other words, there could be two knots. It would be enough to be Yotzi, what Rava's saying, that there's got to be at least two knots, because it was only, I understand that this knot won't be enough, because it has to be a deal. So if there's only this knot, the top knot, what we call it, actually the bottom knot, the way our Gemara uses it, if you're holding the tzitzis like this. So this is the bottom knot, and this would be the top knot. Let's say that's all that's there. And that over here we would already have the psilim coming out. If this knot is the only knot at the end of a chulia, this top knot over here,
Then the taina of Rava was the knot will become untied if the strings are too short, and you'll be left without a gedil at all, so you don't have a gedil. So it must be that there's a second knot somewhere up here, so that there's at least two knots. So between the chuyas, there's got to be a knot. That's what Rava is taina. Fine. This automatically leads you to wonder about the nature of Bichlal, what about the knot over here? And this takes us to today's Gemara. Yesterday we said it doesn't mean it has to be that way. Maybe the Gemara is referring to a case where it is that way. But furthermore, Rava said, "Yamar Rava Shmamina Kesher Elyon Diraisa." You also see now. There's two pshatim in Rashi. Actually, our Rashi only brings one pshat, but the Tosfos quotes Rashi as having two pshatim, and the Shita inserts the Lishna Achrina in the Rashi. The portion of pshat that Rashi brings, the only pshat in the Nusach of Rashi that we have, is that again, Kesher Elyon refers to holding the tzitzis up in your hand, and the Kesher Elyon is the one that we would naturally call the Kesher Tachton. The Tosfos points out we have the same thing with Gavi Bris Milo. We refer to Elyon in the sense of going up instead of going, so towards the guf. Is the opposite of the way we would think about it. Tachton.
Proximal and distal, closer and farther.
Yeah, it's okay, that has more.
Proximal, closer and distal.
Proximal and distal, exactly. That's exactly the way to look at it. Instead of Tachton and Elyon, upper and lower. Exactly. So according to that shot, what Rava is saying is like this. There's got to be at the end of the Chulia, at the top, so to speak, of the Chulia, there's got to be a knot. Because let's say that you would figure, you know what? I'll squeeze it together very tightly, so that, or I'll tie a single knot and not a double knot, which is not a knot in terms of halacha. But it'll stay together at least for a few days, a few weeks, whatever. And this is the issue that you raised yesterday. So this is the natural thing that you think about when you get to the sugi. You think about, I don't understand, so what? But meanwhile, it's still tied, so what do I care if it's still tied? So it's kosher. That's what you were discussing yesterday. And this is exactly what Rav is coming now to address. It can't be that would be kosher tzitzis. Even though lemaisa is being held together right now and it hasn't fallen apart, that can't be kosher. Why? Midiraisa, it's got to be. Because the isaka dait of the rabbonin, let's say you hold, okay, stam, the rabbonin wanted to hold together, but miikra, then that's kosher tzitzis. My itzich lemishre sadim betzitzis. Why would I need a posik to tell me that you're allowed to put in tcheles into a sadin by definition, as we say, is linen, we say it's still today, we call it sheets linen. Pshita, obviously you're allowed to, why not? Put in the chutim of the tzitzis and don't tie it. And then there's no issue of kilayim because it says, ha-tekev tkifa achas eno chibur. So if you just stick something through, you wrap it around and so on, that's not called a chibur. So memela l'shmami, now the Raisa, the Torah has to be makirid in this fashion. It's got to be that indeed there's something innate about tzitzis that they're going to be kilayim if you're going to put them in Semer, you're going to put into a sadi. There's no way out of it. Now, the other pshat in Rashi, just to get confused, is that indeed Kesher Elyon is the way we would talk about Kesher Elyon. And now what it's saying is that the Kesher Tachton, which until now we've been referring to Elyon, which is the distal Tachton, because when the tzitzis are hanging, it's Tachton. So that is not going to be enough to be Mechayev Kilayim, because it's the end of the Gedil. So we wouldn't see that as a chibur to the beged. If I put in tzemer, the fact is that the tzemer is hanging loosely. I at the end, there's something that holds it in, but that's not mityaches to the beged at all. So it must be that there's also a chiyuv to put a kesher right at the top. That's his other pshat, and that would be mechayev, this upper kesher, the one close to the beged, and then you'd have rovas for it to hold the deal in place to be mechayev the other nuts. At least one additional knot before you get to the bottom in this pshat, what we would call the bottom. Our Gerson Rashi doesn't have that, but as I said, the Shita brings it, and Tosfos clearly had it. He says Tosfos, he quotes Bekuntres Pir Shnei Pirushi. Fine. Now, Omar Rabba Bar of Ada, Omar Rav Ada, Omar Rav, Im Nifsak Achut Miikaro Psula. You should know that this whole din of Gardumim is talking about the end of the Gedil. Before the psil. But if you're talking about the tear in the chut being above the knot that's closest to the beged, so even though obviously all the chutim are held in place because of the other chutim, but once it's torn at the place where it goes through the hole, then it's b'chlal not considered to be tzitzis, that's not gargumim. So even though it's hanging there, and if you don't look carefully, it looks like regular tzitzis, but it's not kosher. Yosef Reb Nachman, the Gomel HaShmaisa, Reb Nachman was sitting. It's amazing how well they have it planned. Reb Nachman was saying this over, and Rava asked Akasha to Reb Nachman. And he said like this, "Bamed dvorim amurim b'tchilato. When do we say the shiur that we have in the tzitzis?" That stuff, we'll see later on what that shiur is. We haven't discussed the shiur of the tzitzis at all. We talked about shiur for gadumi. But what is the, when do we say a shiur of tzitzis? That's when you first make the tzitzis. Aval, however, bisofo, once it's been made properly, and now things happen to the chutim, shiurav v'garduma koshahu. There's no particular shiur in the Shiraim and the Gardumim. Now, Shiraim and Gardumim is a strange way of saying things, because Gardumim means Shiraim. So what's the difference? My Shiarav and my Gardumav, what's the two inyanim of Shiraim and Gardumim? So my love must be that when you put the two words together, the way to understand it is that Shiarav means the Ipsik Minayu. The Shtayr Minayu, you have over here some of it that was ifsik, so you had a little bit left, but then all the way up to the top you have, you just have at the end, it broke, what we called gardumim until now, this is how Rashi learns. And the gardumi means, because the lotion of gardumi always refers to ripping at the source. So gardumav is when you get down to the bottom. So gardumav would mean the gardumi gardumi, where it was in fact torn up on top by the hole, and it says kosher. So apparently it's okay even if it's torn at the hole, as long as the katkhila, it was made properly. Said Reb Nachman to him, no, maybe it's really all one thing. Chorekatani, shiyure gardumav, the leftovers of the gardumim, are kosher. Ah, he says, well, hell, come on. I mean, why would you say that? Gardumav means shiyurav. Just say the word gardumim, and I know that it means gardumim or koshu. Valema gardumav, shiurav, lamali. If you're telling me it's all one thing, why even say the word shiurav? Ah, because of kamashvalam, to be inan shiura, the gardumav. Because if I said gardumav, you might think that that means it's cut down literally at the bottom, because that's what gardumim means, to take it down to the roots. So, but since we learned yesterday that that's not kosher, in fact, you need a tiny little bit to be able to twist it around. So in order to make that clear, he used the word, the shiraim of the gardumim, are kosher, meaning kedela anva. But in achinami, if it would be nifsak at the roots, it would be possible. Now, Yosef Rava, the Gomer Mishmei de Rav. Furthermore, Rava quoted Rava saying, chut shel kerech ola min haminyan. This idea of having a gedil, so you might think that that's you put in the tzitzis, and then in order to make a gedil out of those tzitzis, you take a string to use as a wrapper. But that string that uses a wrapper is not part of the tzitzis. In other words, you have the four tzitzis, those have to hang. But you can't make one of the four tzitzis longer in order to have it wrapped. I mean, that's, why should you do that? The four gedilim should be the same. Then you take another string, you put it through to use as a wrapper.
That's
the way we do it. So Rav said that's the way we do it. That's exactly what Rav says. But you shouldn't think that. You should recognize that the chut that is used for wrapping counts as one of the four tzitzios that you put through. What we call the shamash. Omrei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said to him, you're right, but you're wrong in how you quoted it. You quoted it in the name of Rav. It happens to be that Shmuel said that, not Rav. Shmuel, Omra, Velo Rav. It manami, Omra, Rav, Barachana, Sakli, Rav Yosef, Minusha, Chut, Shel, Kerech, Velo, Minaminyin. Fine, we also heard the same mimer from Rav Yosef, who was in Usha. So apparently this was Mekubo, that the Chut, Shel, Kerech is part of the Tzitzios. Now, another time, a rabbi was sitting, and he was quoting Shmuel as saying that Tcheles Shekorach Luba Ksheira. Now, the Pashtus, Tcheles, and Rashi says is Beferish in this case, Tcheles doesn't mean only Tcheles. Tcheles means the tzitzis. Normally, we refer to the tzitzis as a whole as Tcheles. However, we'll see later on in the Besechta that there is a basis for understanding this to mean Dapke, the Tcheles. Particularly, that seems to be the Rambam Shita, but we'll ignore it for a moment.
I thought David was wrapped yesterday.
Well, with the blue, just... No. Tcheles Shekorach Ruba Ksheira. If you have your tzitzis, and you made them rove wrapped, meaning they were rove gedil, not psil. The gedil part is the part that has the chulyas. So mi'ikra din, as we'll see later on, it's only supposed to be 1/3 gedil and 2/3 psil. You went ahead and you made rove, let's say you made 2/3 gedil and only 1/3 psil. So it's a kosher. So Rabbi Yosef said to him, well, you're right, except that Rav said that, not Shmuel. Cool. So Rav on Revelo Shmuel. It's my name, the Amr of Unabar Yudam, Rav Sheshes, Amr of Yirmi, Amr Abba, Amr Rav, Tchela, Shekar, Ruba, Kshera. Now, Rav Mat, Rav Kher, Breda, Rav Notzen, Masli, Hochi, Amr of Unabar, Rav Sheshes, Amr of Yirmi, Amr Abba, Amr Rav, Tchela, Shekar, Ruba, Kshera, and he added, Vafila, Lo, Karach, Bela, Chulia, Achas, Kshera, Lamaisa, a single Chulia is enough for a Gedeel. We'll see later on that means three wraps. But noye tcheles, the nice way to have your tzitzis would be shlish gedil ushnei shlishe anaf. That we'll see later on, we'll learn that out. So the correct way is to have 1/3 gedil with the chulias and 2/3 free string. The kamashir chulia, when we say one chulia, what do we mean? Tanya, Rebbe Yomre Kadeshi Yichroch v'yishaneh v'yishalech. 1, 2, 3, and then you have the full third halfway around, and so it's not just saying three full twists. That's considered to be one chulia. Tana, hapochet lo yifchot misheva. Now, again, the pashtus, the sugya, we have gotten used to a different way of understanding this. But the pashtus of the sugya, in the correct way that we do tcheles today, when we go back to Tcheles, is to understand that it's a reference to the number of chulias. Nowadays, it has become accepted that there are those in the Farsh and the Gemara, that it's a reference to the number of wraps. Oh. So the number of chulias should not be less than 7. V'hamosif lo yosif ar shalosh esrei. The maximum number of chulias should be 13. Why is this? Since the whole idea of Tcheles is that it's Kedeget, the Kisei HaKovei, that's Eimen al HaShemayim, it's Deimel Yam, Yam is Deimel Rakia. So the distance basically between the Rakia, Kaviyochel, and the Kisei HaKovei is the Shiva Rakim. So that way you know that you have the 7 Rakim, and the Mosif or Yisuf or Shlosh Esrei refers to the aver between the rakiyim. Now, it's obviously each rakiyah, so to speak, each shamayim has an equivalent world beneath it, so which we call avir, so to speak. So the distance between rakiyah and the rakiyah, the Gemara Chagig goes 500 years distance. It's measured in time, the distance. So 500 years distance, that's the avir b'neihem, bein rakiyah l'rakiyah. So together, that equals 13. Keneged Shiva Rakiyin Vishisha Avirin Shebeinehen. Okay, so here's the famous, this that every school child learns, the famous Rashi, that we have the tzitzis equaling now, I mean it's actually a problem because it's spelled without the yud, but Tosfos discusses how we manage that. But the tzitzis ends up being the tough resh of the tayag, the times that it mentions tzitzis. Tosfos says lit tzitzis is also included, so the lamed makes the difference, fine. So you have tough resh, and then you have the 8 chutim, and then you have 5 ksharim. And that equals tayag. Fine. The famous thing.
Tosfos is bothered by where the heck do you get five ksharim from? It's like not merum is anywhere. What is it? I mean, the Gemara says the same thing about five ksharim. The Gemara says that you need the kesher elyon to your rice. The maximum you can have kesher elyon, and then we have the kesher with tachton or in the other pshat it means the elyon, and then ben chulya lechulya, right? Which rubber brought it right. There's got to be another kesher. Yeah. So where do we get five from? So here basically is the basis of these tzitziot. Now, if you take a look at these tzitziot, what you have over here is the election. Let's learn just the next piece to remind us. Tanak Yishu matchil bilavan. You have to start with white. Why? Because it says haknat, min knat. So you start with the min knaf, which papasas is in trelas. So that's the level. Then, kishu misayim b'lavan, you should end with the lavan also because of malam b'kadish v'loy marina. The Torah wants you to start with the lavan, so you can't go downhill. So it's got to be that you'll end with lavan also. Okay, also,
why is that again?
Because of Malin Bekedesh Veloy Meridin. Since the Torah was mocked in Lavan, it must mean that there's a Hashivas in the Lavan. And the truth is that Al Pi Kabbalah, the Tchelis refers to Malchus. Malchus is the lowest of the Midas.
That would be the Tchelis. Or you said
the Tchelis is the lowest of the Midas.
Oh, I see.
So Lamais, in terms of, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's point of view, the most Rochok from him is Malchus, which is the most Korif to us. You don't want to end with the Tcheles, you want to end with the Lavan. Right? Fine. So based on that, the Rabbeinu Tam comes up with the reasoning, where would we get five knots from Bichlal? So he says like this, let's assume that you take the minimum number of Chuyas. The Chuyas being seven, that's the minimum. So the Chuyas would be, and we said already, Ben Kol Chuya V'Chuya, you're supposed to have now you're not, or at least certainly some not. So he says like this: if you start, what you would do is like this. You would make first your first kesher, which is here called the bottom, the way Rashi was learning it. So you'd start with one kesher, then you would make two chulyas, lavan and trelas, because you want to have lavan and trelas in each one. So you begin with lavan and then you put in trelas, okay, and then you make at the end that it should be with lavan, so you would now make a kesher. You would then have six, so you would have six of those, and I have more than that here. Why? Because this is 13. Let's take a look at these tzitzias. You start with lavan. One, two, and you have your trelas. Lavan, trelas. Okay, so here you have four. Lavan, trelas, eight. Lavan, Tcheles. So this gets you now to 12. And then Lavan. Your Messiah, B'Shal Lavan alone. Okay? So the Messiah, B'Shal Lavan, this is your 13.
We just said one Tcheles in every one.
That's why we say Messiah, B'Shal Lavan, that it should be Meyuchad with Lavan. That's the Shita. There's many other Shitas.
Put a Lavan, Tcheles, Lavan.
Why put your chuyas?
No, put at the end. Put a lavan, tchilas lavan. You'll still spend
no, lavan. Because the Indian of here is to be miyached the lavan at the end. That's the, okay, there's many different ways of doing
okay.
it. But this is known as in order to have, because you're still being shema on your five knots. Right. So the compromise is that in order to have your 13 chuyas with five knots, the Rabbeinu Tam isn't talking about this case. The Rabbeinu Tam is talking about the minimum.
Right.
Okay, so the minimum, what you would have your seven, you would start off with one knot, then you would do lavan tchelas lavan, each one being Messiah, another knot, so by the time you get to seven, you have now five knots. Right? That's how he gets his knot. In other words, one starts it. Lavan tchelas lavan, so then you would put in another knot, then you make again three, and then a last one, so you would have a total of three of these that only consists of lavan tchelas lavan, lavan tchelas lavan, and then lavan. Between each one of those, you'd have one at the end, one at the beginning, one like I have over here just on the lavan, and then you would have your other two, lavan tchelas lavan, lavan tchelas lavan. gets you seven chulias with five nuts.
Exactly.
So he also has,
except for the extra ones.
It's
exactly
the same as this.
Except for the extra ones.
It's exactly as this one, except that this installs the extra chelas at the end in order to reach 13.
Right.
Okay. So it's basically this idea. That's where these tzitzis come from. It's essentially Rabbeinu Tam's tzitzis. But since he was talking about Pochets lo yifchos b'sheva, this is an emosi. This is an emosi. So that's his idea, to have the Achra and Shalavan alone. That's who understands the sugya over here. So that gives you now your five knots. So that itself, this din of the minimal number of chulyas equals five knots. So how do you stick to the five knots if you add? You do it this way.
Add some more chulyas in between the knots.
Because you're using lavan. Yeah, so the other chat is what you have over there. What you have over there is the seven rikim. Confused now in the chulia itself. And there's each chulia consisting of wraps that equal these various ramazim.
Change the definition.
Changes the definition. Correct. Tosfos brings, so that's Merumah's theme. You know, the different, there's different ramazim in each one of those.
That's the standard Ashkenazi wraps.
Not necessarily.
Grab a little.
Yeah, let's talk about the...
7, 8, 11, 13.
Yeah.
11, 13. That's 39.
So that's a different thing, but how to equal the tzitzis without... Okay, but in any event, this is the basis of the tzitzis that I'm showing you, is the Rabbeinu Tam Shita, that the Lovin, the Messiah Lovin is alone. So you have four knots for your six Ksharim, and then you have the one at the end. Fine. He brings at the very end, Yesh Mefarshim, Lo Yifchot B'Sheva Krichos Ben Kol Kesher V'Kesher. So you go from 7 to 13, whatever other Ramazim you have, and these other numbers are obviously okay.
So how would that fit with yours, since you have only three in the last Kesher, between the last
Kesher? It wouldn't. No, the other Pshat does is has nothing to do with the number of wraps in the Kesher at all. A Chulia has nothing to do with that. A Chulia is three. The Gemara never was Maram is to anything other than three. We're talking about the number of chulyas. We're not talking about the number of... So again, there's two confusing issues here in people's minds. One is that they think that this is a reference to the number of times you wrap, and that's called a chulya. A chulya could be 7, a chulya could be 13. And yet, in the same sugya, it says, Beferish, a chulya is 3. Furthermore, there's this confusion that a chulya consists of the distance between one knot and another. This is not true. The knot has nothing to do with the chulya. There is the simple way of reading the Gemara correctly is that a chulya and a kesher are unrelated. A chulya is three times around, period. That's a chulya. Either with lavan or with chelas. You can make chulyas by alternating lavan with chelas.
One wrap of one wrap of another, one wrap of another.
Three of one, three of another. Those would be two chulyas.
If you did one,
no, that wouldn't be kosher.
Or it wouldn't be a chulya. It wouldn't be defined as a chulya.
Yeah, okay. It could still be gdil overall.
Okay.
Fine, okay, that makes sense. It's very partial in the circuit, that's all that it's saying. And it seems very clear, I mean, from the union of Rava, that obviously there can't be a knot necessary between the chulya. Otherwise, if that's the definition, what am I saying? That's what defines a chulya. The chulya and the knot has nothing to do with each other. Chulya has to do with the defined color of the wrap, three wraps. It's a question of how many chulyas, and then a shadow of where to tie between those chulyas. But they're completely unrelated, and these tzitzis, in fact, show that very clearly. It's unrelated. The chulyas, there are many chulyas here. Here we have four chulyas, and yet there's only one knot. The end of four chulyas. And the chulya, each chulya is defined by three twists. And you have your lovin, and then your lovin, your clear-cut lovin at the end, to be misayim b'shalovin. And that way you go to the entire sugi, and everything makes a tremendous amount of sense. Now, Rav, and Rav Abba Brachana Hava Yasmin, so Rav was sitting with Rav Abba Brachana, a guy walks by who's wearing this beautiful baguette that is entirely made out of tcheles, and he's got tcheles in his tzitzis, but Gedila Migdal, the entire tzitzis was a gedil. He didn't have any loose strings at all. He had this very beautiful fringe, but it was all tied together.
His name is Koros, or one knot? Just one knot at the top.
Spelled a different way. The whole thing was tied. Didn't have the strings at the end. It only had the top. Omar Rab, Yoy Vilima. So Rab said, well, it's a beautiful coat. But lo yoy chalvet, not very beautiful tzitzis. Omar and Rabba Baba Chanan said, what's wrong? Yoy Vilima, Yoy chalvet, lovely. I think it's a lovely coat, I think it's lovely tzitzis, everything couldn't be better. But my community, what are they arguing about? So Rabba Baba Chanan holds that when the Torah on the one hand says gedilim tasavcha, and the other it says psil, it's offering your choice. Oh, gedil or psil? Because you could have tzitzis that are made out of loose strings, you could have tzitzis that are made out of gedilim kirtzoncha. V'rab savar liyelam psil ve'ina. Rav holds, no, psil is a chiyuv. You've got to certainly have psilim. What about gedilim? Why is it stressed gedilim? Gedilim is l'minyano u'deyas. That comes to tell you how many chutim you need. Because gedil, by definition, is double. It's built, gedil. So a gedil is shnayim. It says gedilim, it's arba. Then when it says psil techeles, what it's telling you is, asei gedil u'potleu mitocha. The psil techeles, Rashi brings two pshatim on potleu mitocha. Either the pshat is that this is the basis of the etzem lima that we had before, that you can use the chut of kricha from the tzitzis themselves. In other words, you make a longer tzitzis to be the shamish. So it means mitocho, one of the psilim mitocho shall be used to make the gedil. Or the other pshat is that the psilim should now flow out from the gedil, which is the way we make it. And you have gedil, and then you have the flowing out of the strings coming out of the gedil. So according to Rav, you need two things. You need the first part that's tied with chulyas, and then you have the strings that come out from there. But it's not offering you a choice to have one or the other. Amar Shmuel Mishmei Levi, chutei tzemer potrim b'shal pishtan. If you have pishtan, you could use tzemer. Because anyway, you're using tcheles. So lomaisa, the tcheles is sharpness. And there's no choice but using tzemer, because by definition tcheles is tzemer. And therefore, if you use chutim of lavan together with the tcheles, it would pater pishtan too. Because what's important over here is lavan. It doesn't matter whether it's the min knaf, because the min knaf, just the fact that it's lavan is min knaf. This is part of the question of the tziva garim, which I said we're going to discuss later on with the question of the coloration that Rashi talks about. It's still too early to talk about this. So now, the question is, Iboilohu, what about the inverse? Could you use pishtan on tzemer? So ma'u shiyiftru b'shal tzemer. I understand that tzemer is usable on pishtan, because over there, the kiva the tcheles potra lava nami potra. I mean, since the Torah says to use tcheles, and obviously I'm pottering the, even though it says min knaf, the Torah says use the tzemer. So if I'm using tzemer, it can't mean that that the min knaf is going to be ma'akeh. So tzemer must be able to potter pishtim. But can pishtim also potter tzemer? Odioma. So about pishtim and tzemer alone. I mean, if that's the case, why would I think tzemer could potter, the pishtim could potter tzemer? Odioma, on the other hand, I could say that kibbutz achsiv lotu bashat means tzemer pishtim yachtav. And then it says gedilim taselach. So then that means that the Torah is by definition coming to teach that tzitzis consists of either tzemer or pishtim. So memela, the same way that tzemer pat a pishtim, a tzemer pat is pishtim, which it has to when it comes to tcheles. So then the pishtim yachtav is a pshat, that the whole thing is viewed as one min when it comes to tzitzis.
And tcheles we forget about. We forget about tcheles, which has to be wool.
No, tcheles, yeah, tcheles, of course we have. Same, but the shayla is, can I use pishtim for the lava?
Only for
not for, yeah, everything. Certainly I can't make tcheles out of
tzemer. Beggar is tzemer, beggar
So the baguette is of tzemer, but I put in tzitzis of pishne.
White leaven.
White leaven.
The leaven, not all the tzitzis of leaven.
Yes. Okay, okay. Or I don't, if I don't have chalitz, then I put in leaven instead.
Tzitzis themselves are a mixed breed.
Right, in other words, the Torah seems to be defining tzitzis as a mixture of tzemer, pishne, yachta, and they can be used interchangeably. That's the truth. When it comes to tzitzis, tzemer and pishne are yachta. So there's no, would be no hakpada on min haknav, that would mean.
But it's tzeret, it wouldn't be to have chutei tzeret, but pishtin, that wouldn't be what I'm talking
about. Yes and no. Because obviously what it says over here in the sugya is if I can use pishtin on tzeret, there's absolutely no need to do that. I'm using tzeret on tzeret, but tzeret is tzeret. So why should I be allowed to use pishtim on tzemer? What it would mean is that on this side of the abaya, we're saying that when it comes to tzitzis, there is no din of shat.
But
so you said
all four,
only because of
tzemer,
not because of tzemer.
No.
Even if it wouldn't have been blue.
Even you have here a baguette of tzemer, not of pishtim. So there's no need to have shatnez in it. You could use the tchelas of tzemer, and you could use lavan of tzemer. Which is what we do, right?
But if you had,
if you put in love on a pishtim, it's saying over here that the pishtim would potter the tzemer.
So if all four conditions were pishtim, it would be okay or something?
But even today, if you were putting in a wooden thing,
pishtim,
only pishtim, four chutim of pishtim would be enough.
It would be, you would be yotzei the tzitzis. That's a different question. Because the way the Rambam brings this as halacha is, min hadin, it should be mutter to do this. Yeah. However, since it's possible to be mekayim without, and our klal is, if you can be mekayim, the asay, without being over lo taseh, so therefore where it isn't necessary, you don't do it. So how he's learning the Gemara already, that's up for grabs. Because the parts of you are saying that it's hutter completely, no, since it's a tzemer pishtim yachta. So lo is not tzemer pishtim, lo is not pishtim b'tzemer. There's no iser of kelayim. Toshma, so he answered him, I'll bring you right. Diom rechavam review the chutei tzemer potrim b'shal pishtan, b'shal pishtan potrim b'shal tzemer. Here it says beferish, in the braisa, that you can use, in fact, pishtim to potter tzemer. Furthermore, even if you're wearing silk, you could use the chutim of tzemer and pishtim, which we think at this point means together. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you could have a baguette that is shatnez neutral and create tzitzis that are shatnez. That's already a whole new thing. Yeah. And make shatnez tzitzis. Upligi Reb Nachman, this clearly argues on Reb Nachman, because Reb Nachman holds that shiroin are pter min tzitzis, that silk is potter from tzitzis. If silk is potter from tzitzis, obviously, you wouldn't be able to use tzemer pishtim together with yisur d'oraisa on something that's a chayav of tzitzis.
Could you still chayav
the shatnez? Oh, so this is what Rava's kasha was to Reb Nachman. According to you, that shiroin are potter from tzitzis. And how do you understand? It says, ha-shiroin va-kelach va-sirikin kulam chayavim b'tzitzis. Here, first of all, it says beferish, that they're chayav in tzitzis. Now, the difference between shiroin, kelach, and sirikin is in manufacture. Shiroin are pure silk, which is very rare today. Almost nothing is made out of pure silk. Basically, there's three levels. There's actually four levels. But the Gemara consists of three levels of usage of silk. One is what's known as pure silk. Pure silk is you take the cocoon, and before the cocoon is broken by the actual moth, you kill the moth by heating, and then you unravel the cocoon. So you get about 1,200 feet of silk from every cocoon. That's pure silk. Then the thread, the continued thread. Yeah. You have to, there's a little bit of a problem, you have to find the end.
Yeah.
No. Because the idea here is that in order to maintain the sheer quality of the silk, which used to be the essence of the silk. Today, Adarabba, the nubby silk, is viewed as beautiful. In those days, it was viewed as the poor person's junk silk. But in order to get the straight silk, there can't be any char in there at all. So basically, you had to find the end, or you had to throw out the parts where you couldn't, where you didn't get to the end. Then you have the natural silk, which is where the moth actually ate through, pushed aside the fibers, which breaks some of the fibers. Then you have to weave the silk, because otherwise you have short threads. So that already gives a nubbiness to it, because they're woven at the edges, they're held together.
It's B quality? It's the next lower quality?
Yeah, well, no, the next, well, actually, the Gemara never discussed, the next lower quality is called double silk. Double silk, I forgot the Italian name for it, but double silk is where two cocoons weave together. A cocoon, they're like twins. So
I've
that's yeah, but they're because it's they're mixed. You can't separate out the two cocoons, so you end up with a nubbier silk. So that's the lower quality silk, which Gemara never refers to the chwal as a separate entity. So then you have woven silk. Woven silk is where you have the broken strand, and that's already not very harsh of a silk. And then you have, as Rashi says, you have the lowest level is sarikin. Sarikin is na'oret shomeshi. Na'oret shomeshi means little tiny pieces that have fallen out in the processing. Where over there, you have to, you're basically doing what you do with cotton. You just take, you take like little tiny things and you go like this and you make it. That's very, very nubby and very low quality. So all of these types of materials now are chayv and tzitzit. Says Rav Nachman, that only means min rabbanan. Ah, here's where I get you. Time is right. You're the rabbanan. So then how do you explain the fact that it says v'kulam tzemru pishtin potrin b'hem? How could you possibly use tzitzit of both tzemru pishtin to potter something that's not chayv and tzitzit? If you're going to tell me that there's a chi of the arisa, fine. So then the Torah said, wherever a beggar is chayav and sitzis, so then it should be gedilin tasalor, even though it's temro pishtim yachtam. So then it's mishtar yabu kilayim. Eliyam b'derabon and hefni mishtar yabu kilayim. How are we going to be matir kilayim over here, according to you? Said Rav Nachman, what are you talking about? It doesn't mean temro pishtim together. It means you can use either temer or pishtim. And you don't need to use silk. You might have thought that minaknaf, if the beged is silk, so then the minaknaf is silk. You have to use silk tzitzit. Gamash malan, that you can use tzemer or pishtin. And that's fine. Hochinami mistavi on mistama, that's also, even without Rav Nachman, it's mistavi that that's what it means. Diktani seifa, because it says in the seifa of here, hein atzman, the minan patrin, shalei the minan enam patrin. What it says is that these sarikin only potter their minim. So now, ima bishalei medrabbonam, I'm in the miftrin, the minan. Elei amrit diuraisa. If you're going to tell me that they're chayiv midiuraisa, so explain to me, how is it that semra bishtim would potter? Why doesn't it have to be indeed min knaf? If you're going to tell me that it's the Arisa, where did we get the idea? At this point, we think the only type of tzitzit that are referred to in the Torah is Semru Pishtim. This is what it says, Semru Pishtim. Where would we get the idea that Minan Patis Ben, if it's the Arisa, you should have to use Semru Pishtim? That's not a Taina. Imishimalo Irik, it's a Rava. The Rava Rami, Rava pointed out on the one hand, the Torah says Knaf, which means it should be made out of whatever the beggar's made out of. Then why does it say tzemru pishtim? Ella, there's two different dinim of tzitzit. If you use tzemru pishtim, zarketza tzemru pishtim potru b'minim b'shalot b'minim. But if you're using shar minim, if you have cotton begadim or silk begadim, then you could use only either tzemru pishtim or minim. But you can't use cotton to potter silk. You can't use silk to potter cotton, certainly not semru pishtim.
But cotton, yes.
Cotton, yes.
So
because that's haknaf.
Without tchelis, right?
Yeah, without tchelis. What do you mean? It's not tchelis, right. It's cotton.
Could you put a tchelis in with it? Would it still be
certainly. Of course, as we're saying, semru pishtim potters anything. But the Shirayim would park only Shirayim, so that's no kasher. So all Reb Nachman, all that we're saying is that it's not a raya. Obviously, it doesn't mean it has to be that way. You thought it was a raya, the Rabbanan. If it was the Araisa, if you hold a Rava, then the Torah gives you options. If you're using Begadim that are chayav because they're Tzemru Pishtim, fine. So then you have Tzemru Pishtim. If you use Begadim that are Shirayim, then you can use Tzemru Pishtim. That's a given, but you can also use Benaknaf. So according to Reb Nachman obviously isn't following. Reb Nachman is saying it's only Rabbanan. So there is no Min HaKnaf according to him. He can't possibly be learning this drasha because Min HaKnaf is only Tzemru Pishtim by definition. So Reb Nachman, the Omer could have taught it today with Yishmol. He was going according to the other Brice, the Tanit Reb Yishmol. Hol v'nemru v'gonim b'teres stam. The Torah discusses in many places begonim by tzitzit. Begonim akan fei big dehem. Doesn't say what the beggar is made out of. However, if you take a look in other places where the Torah does specify, pirei v'chakatu v'yachad miyam tzemru pishtim. I mean, there are places where it specifies, it says beferish. Tzemru pishtim. And we find by negoyim, beget tzemer, beget pishtim. We find by kelayim, tzemru pishtim. So I've called tzemru pishtim the norm of a beggar is tzemru pishtim. And that's how Reb Nachman holds it. Therefore, the only Tzemru Pishtim. So the Min HaKnaf, he doesn't darshan. He has to darshan in a different way, which we'll see. We may have many drushes, actually, from Reb Nachman.
We don't hold that for other drushes for Beged. We have, you know, Beged's Tumor. We don't say it's only if Tzemru and Pishtim Beged, do we? If he has an other Min Beged.
Well, if we have the Goyim, we do, but over there it's because it's Kalin. It's not a Dimon Beged.
Yeah,
HaKnaf. That's Rabba's drasha. Omer Abaye. Now this Bryce Rabbi Shmuel that says Dafka Tzemru Pishtim obviously is counter the other Tanadeve Rabbi Shmuel who says the opposite. Tanadeve Rabbi Shmuel Beget. When the Torah says Beget, Ein Li Ella Beget Semer. Here we're talking about Beget Stam, but a Beget Semer. How do we know the Semer that's not Semer? In other words, we're talking about tzemer, the pashas of tzemer, the technical tzemer that has to come from a sheep. How about tzemer gimalim, or tzemer arnavim, or nutza shel izim, or telak tzviket v'shiroim inayim? Therefore, it says, beged tzemer o beged pishtim. The o means and or anything else, because it's an addition. So obviously, you can't say that the Torah was mefarish dafka tzemeru pishtim if in the very parsha where it's mefarish, which is kilayim, which is negayim, it says mefarish oh, in which case shiroyim would also be included. Now this is the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos doesn't like it. First of all, it doesn't say oh beged, it says ba beged. So it says oh ba beged. So why does it? What's so funny? Why would you quote a different pasuk? I mean that's the lashon of the pasuk, and I mean the point over here is that indeed by the goyim it's dafka tzemeru pishtim. So he learns a different pshat, which we'll discuss when we get to the bechalal sugya. But in any event, I mean it's not a problem because we often have the tanit ve'rabbi shmolz.